The Social Security Administration has found a new home for all of its data. The agency recently opened its new National Support Data Center in Urbana, Maryland. The 300,000-square-foot facility replaces the 30-year-old Woodlawn facility that couldn't adapt to changing technology or even meet the electricity requirements. Chief Information Officer Bill Zielinski joins me now with details on this new center. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so this place still has the new carpet smell.
That's correct.
And it was a long time in coming. I think wasn't this originally paid for in the stimulus bill back in 2009, correct?
Absolutely correct.
All right, so I guess some of the early time was spent just finding where to put it.
You're right, Tom. In your opening, you mentioned that our current data center here on our main campus in Woodlawn, more than 30 years old. Its capabilities were being outpaced by the needs of technology and the needs overall of the agency. So a lot of that time up front was really working with the General Services Administration and trying to determine where were the best locations and who might be the best builders, those sorts of things. So a lot of upfront work in terms of putting plans, specifications, things in place before that selection was really made for Urbana.
And versus a generation ago when that last data center was built, what are the land and power and other environmental requirements now for a modern data center compared to what was required 30 or so years ago?
So Tom, just imagine, think about the changes in technology that have occurred over those 30 years, and just at the surface, you can imagine how much those things have changed. But think about this in three areas: efficiency, capability, and security/stability. And so when we take a look at the physical location itself, obviously, in terms of the very significant, we like to think of ourselves as the Fort Knox of personal information. So first of all, just having a physical location that provides a level of security. Having a dedicated electrical grid capability. In our case, we actually have a photovoltaic field. It's a 4-acre photovoltaic field that provides a significant amount of the energy for the building. And it provides that kind of, not, along with the physical security, the stability we need. And then from the construct of the building itself, it's a highly configurable, very open. So when we talk about what we need to be able to do, we don't have to put in considerations in and around encumbrance of the building. In other words, the building itself is not going to cause us to change what direction we might go. It really is so open and so configurable that it allows us to go in any direction that technology takes us.
So the photovoltaic field, then, that provides some of the power. So even if the grid should be, grids can be flaky at times, you've got that steady source right there while the sun shines.
You got it. Not only does it provide a significant power source, but in addition to that, it provides us with a lot of essential backup capabilities, not just from the photovoltaic, but also from the backup generators and other capabilities. And we actually have our own substation out there on site.
All right. And so let's move indoors here for a moment. Do data centers still have raised flooring?
So in this case, we do have raised flooring, but really when you think about the raised flooring in terms of having the wires and all those things underneath it, we really don't have that. Again, what we have is this extremely wide open. Think about something that looks like the size of a football field when it's completely empty. So there's no columns, there's no pillars, and in terms of that space being highly configurable, we have hot aisle containment. The wires are all on racks that are above the machines. So it's while it does have raised floor, it's not for the same reasons that they once were, where we're pulling stuff below the floor.
Yeah, the old mainframes, some of them had water cooling that ran through them. Describe the kinds of servers you have now. You've got, I guess, you put everything back to back so that there's like a hot space between it that's efficient to cool off, whereas the front is all the lights and the switches that doesn't need to be so intensely cooled. Is that kind of the way that things are designed now?
It is. And in fact, we utilize a number of different systems. So while we still have some cool water cooling, that really isn't the bulk of it. Really, the design, just as you mentioned, that hot aisle containment where you actually have the exchange and the interaction between all of the mainframes, all of the systems that are in there, is much more energy efficient. We have the ability to open up very large systems that have intake of air from the outside, pushing air to the outside. So the energy and efficiency, energy efficiency savings are tremendous here in this new facility.
And just describe the architecture a little bit, the computer architecture. and correct me if I'm wrong, but SSA originally was the IBM 360, architecture going back way back. And do you still run that basic code, but on modern hardware? Is that a good way to describe it?
But you know, we are still, you know, obviously some of those same legacy systems that first ran our systems, there's still a lot of parts and pieces of those that are still valid, but we are moving away from that as the base. We are much more of a kind of an open systems, highly virtualized setup, and so we're moving much more away from the mainframe setups that we've had before. And again, this kind of setup that we have in the new facility gives us a lot of capability as we make that transition away from those legacy systems and the types of equipment that we used to use.
We're speaking with Bill Zielinski. He is the CIO of the Social Security Administration. And what about personnel required to keep everything running? They used to call them glass houses, and you could look inside through the glass and see lots of people running around making sure the bugs were out of the flappers and so forth. Is this a low requirement for personnel to be on hand?
You got it. In today's modern data center, the fewer hands touching the machines, especially during the business day, the better. And so while it's at, you mentioned the 300,000 square foot for the building, really on an ongoing basis, we'll have somewhere between 75 to 100 people at the site. But in terms of where those folks are, there's actually a separate, much smaller building that's physically separated from the data center itself. So in terms of putting machinery out on the floor, it doesn't go out on the floor until it's been prepared, prepped, and so it really is dropped into place. So the number of people that are there on the floor is very few, and no one is in there full time.
And what about contractors? Are there contractors on site too, or is it all pretty much SSA personnel?
So there's a mix, and again, depending upon those, depending on budgets, depending upon requirements for what the needs are, we do maintain a mix of contractors. But when I talk about that 75 to 100, that's pretty much the entirety of the staff, including contractors. But there's a mix between govies and contractors. Does not include the security personnel.
All right, and in terms of the getting back to the idea of security and monitoring, so can all of this equipment and all of the processes going on be monitored in a remote way in that other building, or maybe even from somewhere completely different?
So somewhere completely different, there is monitoring capability there on site, and obviously we have folks who are there monitoring the machines and taking a look at if they need to do something with the machinery. But a lot of the monitoring is going to take place either at our main headquarters here, still remaining in Woodlawn, Maryland, or out of our secondary support center in North Carolina. We have folks that are down there, and between our two physical locations, we really run data center, which includes that monitoring as well. So again, in terms of the need for folks to be there on site, it's minimal, and the monitoring really does take place in a variety of different locations.
And from the CIO standpoint, how does the agency growth, there's actuaries at Social Security that look at what the workloads and what the demands on the agency will be looking forward based on population trends and aging trends and so forth. How does that get translated back into what you need to plan for the capacity inside that data center?
So that's a great question, Tom, and we really did take a look at those projections in terms of those workloads. Obviously, as technology progresses, it gets more and more, you know, the machines get smaller, their capabilities get larger. So as we take a look at this new data center, it is actually smaller than our National Computer Center is today. But again, as we take a look at the trends going forward, we have to take a look at those workload trends, which again, we see an ever-increasing workload. Some areas, for example, verifications. We did over 150 million verifications for the Affordable Care Act last year. So those types of services that we provide, we see a lot of growth in that area. We'll see continued growth in our other workloads. But we have to consider not just those workloads, but other trends such as where do we go in terms of cloud computing? How much do we have to do on site versus how much is going to be out in the cloud, whether that's a public cloud or a government cloud? Those all came into the projections. And so we're very comfortable that as we take a look at the new data center, it really sets us up well for at least the next 20 years. And again, we'll continue to assess that as we go forward.
And what about web applications and some of those mobile deployments going out to the public? How does that affect the way you design and build a data center?
In terms of that portion of it, it does have an effect. Again, we're moving away from mainframe, moving more into open systems and highly virtualized systems. So again, the efficiencies that you can achieve through virtualization is going to reduce the demand that you have. So as we move more to some of these web-based or mobile applications, those needs become more efficient. So it does have that effect. The reality is that as we take a look at our projected workload growth from our programs, more and more we're seeing more of our work pushed towards self-help, online, public-facing applications. And so those all fit into the projections in terms of what our needs are going to be.
That's good to know, because I'm going to be there in a few years myself, so I'll be watching. And
Tom, and to that effect, you could certainly go to our My Social Security site and sign up for an account today and prepare yourself for when you're ready to retire online.
Well, yeah, as soon as I get an AARP card, and I tear up those mails a lot these days too. But as for the techies in the crowd, are all of the computers themselves pretty much a rack mount or blade type of configuration nowadays, as opposed to a floor standing machine?
There's a good mix. You know, we still have some of the mainframes. But in terms of our open systems area, you have that the blade type or the rack mounted. So it's our ability to configure kind of on the fly is we have a lot of capability with that.
And are you looking into solid state disk drives, which are still expensive, but they can give you a lot of speed?
Yes. So we have a mix depending upon what the workload needs are. One of the things we are doing, and when I talked about security and stability, what this provides us is a lot more capability in and around things like business continuity, business restoration, disaster recovery, those sorts of things. But one of the things we are doing is in terms of our storage itself and for our backup and recovery, we're moving to a wholly cloud-based virtualized backup system. So we're really taking a look at kind of the speed that we can get from these types of storage devices, and also the idea that our ability to restore from a business event or a disaster is much greater than we would have before.
And are you using a government site for the cloud backup, or is it a commercial?
Government site, absolutely.
Okay. Well, if I come up, can I get a tour?
Hey, absolutely. We're very proud of the facility. It's a very nice facility, and we certainly could do something to arrange a tour for you.
All right. Bill Zielinski is the CIO of Social Security Administration. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate the time.